Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we looked at the parable in Luke chapter 17, where Jesus is speaking about the lepers, and he speaks about the ones that were all cleansed, the nine, and they walked away, and only one returned to give him thanks. Now, I think a misunderstanding of that text is that the other nine were not thankful people. I'm sure that they were extremely thankful for what the Lord had done for them. The problem was they didn't stop and return to give God thanks. They didn't stop to acknowledge all praise and thanksgiving to Him. And this is the call, isn't it? It's to be reflective upon where all blessings flow. Praise God to whom all blessings flow. It's from God and through God and to God are all things. To Him be the glory. So let me ask you this as we begin this morning, a day that we commemorate thanksgiving to God, as we gather together corporately to worship Him. Are you a thankful person in that you stop to acknowledge God's goodness, His grace, His mercy, His kindness towards you in Christ Jesus? Do you take the time to acknowledge God publicly? Do you take the time to acknowledge Him privately in your homes? Or do you just get right at the festivities and the food? You see, we are to be a people then who acknowledge God. And we give Him thanks and praise. Even as Jesus said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? That should not be said of us as believers. Now you think about how we express our thanksgiving to God. Because thanksgiving is not a day. Thanksgiving is a lifestyle for the believer. It's every day of our life, every moment of our life, we ought to be thankful to God for His blessings. But when you think about giving thanks to God, how do you give thanks to God? In what ways does the Scripture speak to us about giving thanks and praise to God? The Scripture is filled with thanking God for His wondrous goodness towards the children of men. And the psalmist even says, oh, that men would give thanks to God for His wondrous goodness and His mercy to the children of men. And yet, in truth, the only ones that can give Him thanks are the believers. We are the only ones that can thank God. Everything apart from faith is sin. The unbeliever, what Paul writes in Romans 1, one of the things that bring that great chastisement upon the unbelieving world, the wrath of God that comes, that they will not give God thanks. That's the essence of the unbelieving heart. They're unthankful to God. They sit down at the table and they eat their meal and their thought is, I deserve this. I earned this. I ought to have these good things. With my own hands, I've done these things. And that's always the temptation, isn't it? Even the Israelites coming into the promised land, the Lord reminded them, don't forget, it's me who gives you strength to get wealth. It's me who supplies your every need so that you can have the things that you do have. So it's proper, it's right to give thanks to God. And what a blessing it is. It's a great blessing for the believer to be able to pour out thanksgiving and praise to God. It does something within the heart of man to give thanks and praise to God. And so our worship is a thank offering, isn't it? As Paul says, a living sacrifice of thanksgiving to God. When we come in a thankful heart and give praise to Him for His wondrous works, His wondrous blessing, for the forgiveness and the mercy that He has granted to us in Jesus Christ. So this is what we see in Psalm 100 this morning. Notice just briefly the first 3 verses. It's a psalm of thanksgiving. And the calling there is which it's in the imperative mood. It's a command. It's a command to make a joyful shout to the Lord. To make a joyful shout is to lift up your voices in prayer and praise to God. It's to be a singing people. People that are thankful are singing people. Not just any kind of singing, singing unto the Lord and giving thanks to His name. Giving thanks at the remembrance of His name, at every remembrance. That's the thankful people. That's what you find in the Psalms. People love the Psalms. You often find people that go through suffering to run to the Psalms. Why is that? Well, you've heard me say it before. Calvin referred to the Psalms as the anatomy of the soul because it deals with all of our soul issues. You find them there in the 150 Psalms. They address us. They minister to us. They convict us. They comfort us. They console us. But in those Psalms, you'll find over and over and over again an expression of thanksgiving to God. That's the redeemed heart. So we make a joyful shout to the Lord. And look at all the lands are called to praise the Lord. And one day that's going to happen. You realize this. One day, all the nations of the earth will gather together and worship our God. Because the Lord is going to redeem out of every tribe, tongue, and nation of the world a people unto Himself. And all those nations that represent the lands of this earth will gather together and bow down in front of Him and worship and praise and extol the One who has given us all things and has sustained us by His wondrous hand. All the lands will. But this is the command. It's called to repent, isn't it? To gather together and fall down before the Lord and make a joyful shout to Him. Sing out the honor of His name. So, the first thing that we see is a thankful heart is a joyful heart. It's a singing heart. Number two, we are to serve the Lord with gladness. We are slaves of Jesus Christ. We have been bought and purchased by Christ from Satan and sin to become His own special people. Zealous for good works. We are called unto this, Ephesians 2. That in everything that we serve the Lord, we serve Him for His glory in good works. Good works glorify God. Good works are those what we do with one another, isn't it? So serving the Lord, we serve men. We serve each other. We are called to be servants of God in this way. Many don't want that. Many don't want to be servants of God and serve others. They want to be served. As Jesus said, I haven't come to be served, but I've come to serve and give my life a ransom for many. Think about that for a moment. We're being conformed into Christ's image. That being the case, this service towards others, the servitude, ought to be seen more and more in our lives. We're thankful to God when we serve others, when we care for others, when we wash one another's feet. Now, you know, that's a principle. When we can't do for ourselves, that others come alongside and do for us. We help and we serve in this way. But we come before His presence with singing. We've got to know, verse 3, that the Lord, He is God. Well, we've got all kinds of confusion today about who the creator of this earth is. Man talks about the Big Bang and about evolution and that man evolved. All myths and fairy tales that men who are in rebellion against God come up with because they will not serve the true and living God. What Paul says in Romans 1, they suppress the truth and unrighteousness and hold it back. They will not come before God. They will not worship Him. They will not come into the light. They dwell in darkness. They love the darkness because they are the darkness, and so are we. We once were the darkness, but because of the grace of God, the goodness of God, the love of God in Christ Jesus, we have been rescued. And we have been brought out of the darkness into the marvelous light. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, you were washed, you were cleansed, you were justified, you were sanctified, you were glorified in the name of our God in Christ Jesus. Christ has become wisdom from God for us as the people of God. That's who we are. Beloved, you know that. You know that you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and made spotless in the sight of God because of the crimson red blood of Jesus Christ. And you know that you ought to walk then in compassion towards those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be long-suffering with them because they know not God in salvation. And apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't know God in salvation. We would only know Him in judgment. We would only know His wrath. We would proclaim the same things. Maybe we did. Maybe we proclaimed that God didn't create the heavens and the earth at one time in our life. But when the Lord regenerates the soul and pulls back the eyes and you see the wondrous beauty of God, you declare that God is the creator of heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is. And we are here on this earth to worship Him, to serve Him, to sing out the honor and the glory of His name. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. What a blessing to be the sheep of Christ's pasture. To be in His hands. And notice the shepherd cares for his sheep and provides for their needs. Now look at our text this morning. Verses 4 and 5. The psalmist says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. This is temple worship at this time. You know, the psalmist is writing and the temple is standing. And the temple had gates. And the book of Revelation speaks about the gates of the temple. But the temple gates on the east side were called the beautiful gate. And this is where the worshipers would come and bring their thank offering to God. And there is no longer a temple standing as the Israelites once worshipped. That was a type and a shadow of the true temple, which is Jesus Christ. And beloved, we belong to that true temple. We are even called in 1 Corinthians 3 and 1 Corinthians 6, the temple of the living God. God dwells in us. And so as we gather together, as we come together corporately, we are coming in this way. We are entering into the gates of the Lord through Jesus Christ to bring a thank offering to God, to give Him thanks. And every time we do gather together, that's exactly what we're doing. We're honoring and thanking His name. He is thanked and honored and glorified by our worship. How zealous ought we then to be in the worship of our God? How should our week be then constructed so that we're thinking, right, on Monday that we can't wait to gather together on the Lord's Day, which is the highlight of the whole week? We think that the week begins with Monday. The week doesn't begin with Monday. The week begins with Sunday. It's the first day of the week. It's the Lord's Day. It's the new creation. It's a day that sets the tone for every other day of the week. We come in and we gather to worship on the first day of the week. And then we go out to serve God on the other 6 days in the vocation that He's called us to. And all of that constantly progressing towards, again, the first day of the week that we are instructed by the Lord. That we bow our necks to the yoke of Christ. That we sing again to His name for His glory. And we prepare our hearts then to go out the other 6 days of the week. And it happens again and again and again. Weekly, as the Lord has commanded. That we are commemorating these things. So we enter in. We are in. We come in through the Lord Jesus Christ. A new and living way. And we gather together as the people of God. There is no one set place to worship God now. Jesus makes mention of this in John 4. You know, the Jews would say, well, we worship in Jerusalem. And the Samaritans, we worship on Mount Gerizim. Well, you know, the time is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. That's how we gather. From all different types and shadows and in the nations of this world, we gather together as the people of God all over the world to give Him thanks and to give Him praise. What is your zeal like for entering? Again, this is a command. We're commanded to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. What's your zeal like for entering into the house of God as the people of God? What's your preparation like for gathering together with the Lord. I think the misunderstanding of even when we gather and what that means, that God is present with us, I think the church today misses that. And how wondrous an activity it is that God is walking among His people and ministering to them as the Word of God is being proclaimed. The Holy Spirit is doing His work in the hearts of the people of God. He's softening the hearts. He's bringing contrition to the heart. He's bringing repentance in the life. He's bringing that confession to Him that we've sinned. And we're confessing these things in our own heart, even as the Word is being proclaimed. But He's also bringing comfort, isn't He? You are my sheep, and no one will ever snatch you from my hands. What a thanks for that. That nothing can ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We enter in with this praise and thanksgiving to God. That's a lifestyle. That is a preparation, isn't it? We're preparing ourselves Monday through Saturday to gather together on the Lord's Day with a thankful heart unto God, singing out the honor of His name. We come into His courts with our praise. Praise is beautiful. Praise is wondrous. We are a people of praise. We are to be instructed by the Word so that we might properly sing the praise of God, that we would know how to be thankful. Paul, or the writer of the Hebrews, says in Hebrews 13 that we are to thank God with our lips, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Thankful for all things to His name. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. If you don't cultivate this as a family, if you don't cultivate this in your own home, the worship on the Lord's Day and whenever we gather together as God's people will be cold. It will become sterile. It will become just a formal gathering with no zeal of the heart in worship for God. That's how it was with the Pharisees. Jesus said, "You draw near with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. You worship as commandments the doctrines of men. You put aside the commandments of God for the sake of your tradition. You're all fastidious about washing the cups and the dish." And Jesus said, it's first the inside of the cup and dish that must be cleansed. If we're not cultivating this, beloved, let me ask you with your children. Is this cultivated in the lives of your children? Are they prepared then to gather together on the Lord's Day to, as the psalmist says, to be thankful to God corporately, so that our lives individually would be a thanks offering to God? Are they cultivating that? Are you training them up and teaching them? Because what comes natural for us is being disgruntled. What comes natural is complaining. What comes natural is exalting ourselves rather than God. That's the sinful heart. It needs to be cultivated in the lives of our children. If we don't do this, cultivating thanksgiving to God with our families, don't be shocked when your children walk away from the church. This is a work of priority, isn't it? It's a priority for us to be a thankful people and to teach thankful living to our children. It's a priority as Christians to teach our children to sing to the honor of God. So we're not going to come and gather together to sing those sappy, sentimental, those songs that exalt and lift up man. We've come to exalt and lift up our God who has redeemed us from our sin and misery. And that needs to be cultivated in the life. Otherwise, we will simply become liberal and it'll all be about us, and then we'll be a synagogue of Satan. This happens perpetually in the lives of God's people. Training and teaching and cultivating a thankful heart to God. We have so much, and we have so much to be thankful for. We live in a prosperous nation. We have a lot to be thankful for in this prosperous nation. But who has caused this nation to be prosperous? Who is given the resources and the ability to cultivate the resources given? It's the Lord. He is the King of all the earth. He's the one who gives to some that doesn't give to others. It's God who does all this. His name must be acknowledged and must be praised in everything. And beloved, we need to teach our children this. This is a sad state when the church today does not train up and instruct its children. So we enter and we are thankful to Him. To Him. Specifically to Him as to whom we are giving thanks. We bless His name. We laud and honor His name. That's what it means to bless God. It's to exalt Him. Blessings of the people of God flow to the Lord in laud and honor and thanksgiving to Him. Exalting Him for who He is. Thinking about the attributes of God. That He is the omniscient one who knows all things. That He is the omnipotent one who has all power and authority and rules over all. That God is the one who is ever present with us. He is omnipresent. He is here with us. He is never at any time absent from us by His Holy Spirit. That's blessing His name. Remembering that His name, He has exalted His word above His very name. That's blessing His name. Remembering who He is and what He has done is blessing the name of the Lord. And you find that again from Psalm 1 to Psalm 150. It's a constant ringing of praise and blessing and honor to God. And notice, he says that the Lord is good. Do you know that the Lord is good? Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? The Lord is good. His very nature is good. God is good. The rich young ruler came to Jesus. He said, "Good teacher, what good thing must I do to enter into eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? There's one good, and that's God. God is good. God is essentially good. God of His own nature is good. That's who He is. He is the gracious God, the good God, who is good to all of His creation. He brings blessings to all men. But all men don't say thanks. All men don't praise Him. And therefore, the good thing that God gives becomes a curse to them. Simple things. Think about the bounties of God's providence in what He gives to all men. Think about the rain and the sunshine. Now you know that, you know, unbelieving farmers. And as you're driving down the roads, sometimes you see their crops better than your crops. Their yields better than your yields. And you don't, they don't give God thanks. And sometimes that causes consternation in the hearts of God's people. What's going on here? Beloved, that's not new. Again, if we would know even the Psalms, we would understand that. Asaph in Psalm 73 deals with the same thing. "My foot almost slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. I couldn't understand it. It was too painful for me. Here I am worshiping the Lord day in and day out and serving Him, and they don't, and their heart is as fat as grease. Look at all the things that they have. Blessings seem to abound for them." You know what the corrective was? It wasn't going and laying down on some couch. It was going back to the teaching of Scripture. He says, "Then, when I went into the house of the Lord, then I understood their end. Then I understood that you were fattening them up for the slaughter. Then I understood the purpose and plan of God." And Asaph says, "Forgive me, Lord. I was like a beast. I was like one without rationality. I wasn't even thinking. Forgive me." Beloved, that should not be us. We should not be the people that laments in that way. God gives to some that He doesn't give to others. But you know that in everything, God is working together the good of those who love Him. We are those that know God's good, perfect, and acceptable will. God has a good will for His people. Even when we suffer, even when we die. Notice that death is not a dying, it's a dying to sin, not for sin. It's a dying to sin and entering into eternal life. God is good. God has prepared for us something that eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. He's revealed it to us in His Word. So we search the Word, we understand what God has prepared for those who love Him. God is good. Psalmist goes on, God is good to Israel. God is good to His people. We thank God for His indescribable gift in Jesus Christ. God is good. God has redeemed us from the pit. God has washed us in the blood. God has made us white as snow. God has promised us everlasting life. Think about the promises God has given to His people. God is good. David says, I have been old, I have been young. I've never seen the righteous begging for bread. Why? God supplies our needs. He's the good shepherd who has taken responsibility for us. And He feeds us. He nourishes us. Beloved, that we gather together, every time we do, and we come together corporately, that God's Word is ministered to us. That we are fed God's Word is a demonstration of God's goodness toward us. His faithfulness. Now, how else can we respond but by blessing His name? And how often do we take it for granted that every Lord's Day that we gather together and God does feed and nourish us with His Word by His Holy Spirit? The Lord is good. What a statement. The Lord is good. Do you say that the Lord is good when you go through difficulties of life? Do you lift up your voice, praise and laud and honor our God when you go through the difficulties? Because we're going through difficulties. We're going to go through them. Tribulation is appointed to us. In this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, Jesus said. I've overcome the world. So notice where the focus is not on the tribulation, but on the one who overcame, Jesus Christ. That's where you find your joy and your thanksgiving. God is good. His mercy is everlasting, the psalmist says. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting upon His people. This is God's covenant love to His people. The Hebrew term hesed, God's covenant love, is loving faithfulness. You know, loving faithfulness is, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. That's loving faithfulness. That's loving kindness of God. We see kindness. We see kindness when someone is helping an elderly person cross the street. We see kindness when a mother is holding her infant child. We see compassion. We see love there. We see compassion and loving kindness in serving others, in caring for those that can't care for themselves. This is the Lord constantly giving us His loving kindness, His mercy. You know what mercy is, beloved? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Do you know what you deserve? Do you know what I deserve? Can you declare today that in and of yourself you deserve temporal and eternal punishment? The wages of our sin is death, both temporally and eternally. We have earned that by our rebellion against God and His law. And yet He has not given that to us. If you're here this morning trusting in Jesus Christ, you've received His everlasting mercy. And you need to teach that to your children, the mercy and kindness of God who forgives our iniquities, who shows His loving kindness to thousands of generations that love Him and keep His commandments. The mercy of God. God has withheld the punishment due to us upon us and imputed that to Christ. Want to be thankful this Thanksgiving Day? Want to be thankful as you gather around the table? Remember this. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? you're trusting in Christ, you could be thankful. Christ was forsaken that you never would be. He suffered a wrath that you would never have to suffer. The end of the service, we have a benediction. God pronounces a good word upon His people. Why is that? Because Christ received the cursed word. He received the curse of the covenant. He is the one who bore all the penalty for His people. You want to be thankful? Remember that. Remember that He has redeemed you and washed you and cleansed you. And He calls you His dear children. And I will never leave you and forsake you, though I am with you always till the end of the age. His mercy is everlasting. We've received the grace of God. We've received something that we didn't earn. Christ earned it for us. And so God's loving kindness is from everlasting. Teach that to your children. That's blessing and thanking God's name. It's teaching His mercy. His truth endures to all generations. Beloved, are you thankful that you know the truth? Jesus said in John 8, when the Jews that came to Him said that they believed in His name, Jesus said, if you continue in My word, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Jesus said in John 17, Father, sanctify them by Thy truth. Thy word is truth. We have the truth of the Lord. What a blessing to know that God has created all things and upholds all things by the word of His power. Do you teach that to your children? Do you go outside in the fall of the year and see the beautiful colors and teach them what marvelous works God has done? How about in a soft, gentle rain that comes in the springtime? With a glorious rainbow that we see in the skies. This is the covenantal duty of thankful people, that we instruct our children in everything. Whether we're in the kitchen, whether we're outside, it doesn't matter. Everything is an instruction of the glory and honor and thanksgiving and praise of God, which we owe to Him as those who are the redeemed. His truth endures to all generations. We have His word. We have His word today. This word that was written thousands of years ago. And we know the truth today. That Moses wrote the first five books of the law. And we have that truth today. We have the commandments. They come alive in the heart of the redeemed. We have so much to be thankful for. We thank God by gathering for worship. We thank God by coming into His courts with praise. We thank God by serving Him, by serving one another. We thank God by proclaiming, declaring that He is the one who has made us. We haven't made ourselves. We thank God when we say, we are in Your hands. We thank God when we say, Lord, I am Yours. Do with me as You will. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We thank God when we bless His name through tribulation and trial. We thank God in our singing. We thank God, beloved, when we exalt Him for the truth that endures to all generations. Are you a thankful person? Express your thanksgiving to God, the one who has saved us from all of our sin and misery and has given us so many things richly to enjoy. Thank and bless His holy name. Amen. Shall we?